Goldman Sachs settles out of court.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, good morning. I'm Bill Radke. Goldman Sachs will pay a $500 million fine to settle a case brought by federal regulators. The investment bank was charged with misleading customers about a trade based on subprime mortgages. Marketplace's Elisa Roth tells us if the settlement's approved, it'll be the biggest one in the history of the Securities and Exchange Commission.
Goldman Sachs will pay a $300 million fine to the U.S. government. That comes out to about 97 cents a person. The rest of the cash will get split between two European banks that lost money on the investments it bought from Goldman. Goldman doesn't have to admit to any of the charges. It did, however, acknowledge that it should have been clearer in its marketing materials, and it promised not to commit securities fraud in the future. Mark Zandi is chief economist at Moody's Analytics. He thinks the SEC is trying to send a message.
Our financial system doesn't work unless there's trust among all the different parties, and the SEC is trying to reestablish that trust, make everyone begin to think again that they can do business with each other.
For a bank that makes billions of dollars a year, a $500 million fine is small potatoes. But the settlement is a warning to other banks. Yesterday, the Securities and Exchange Commission said it's investigating similar cases at B of A, Deutsche Bank, Morgan Stanley, and others. In New York, I'm Elisa Roth for Marketplace.
Apple will break its silence today about the malfunctioning antenna on its new iPhone 4. The company's called a news conference at its Cupertino, California headquarters. Marketplace's Steve Henn has the story.
When your hottest product has become a target of Dave Letterman's top 10 list, your PR strategy is out of control.
There's something hinky about the new iPhones. They're not hooked up right. There's a problem with the signal sensor. There's a problem with the antenna. They don't like to be held.
Steve Jobs probably isn't feeling too cuddly either. But Mary Spaeth, who specializes in crisis management, says it's time for Apple to show its fan base some love.
Yeah, the first thing they need to do is not be arrogant. That is, they need to be sympathetic, show that they care, display their vaunted technical expertise.
Spaeth says Apple needs to offer a fix. If Jobs uses this press conference to deny a problem exists, Apple could get creamed. But a little humility would go a very long way. I'm Steve Henn for Marketplace.
President Obama says the financial overhaul bill passed yesterday will lay the foundation for a stronger financial system. He'll sign the bill next week. Republicans call the measure heavy-handed. House GOP leader John Boehner says he will work to get it repealed. Let's do the numbers. European stocks were lifeless this morning until about an hour ago when General Electric reported earnings. GE's profits rose 16% last quarter, and the CEO predicted higher earnings next year and beyond. Then Bank of America checked in with a $3 billion profit, better than expected. Now major European markets are up almost 1%. Shares of BP are 4% higher in London. The company has managed to cap the Gulf oil leak, although it's not yet a permanent fix. Yesterday, the S&P 500 rose slightly, but the Dow Industrials lost 7 points, closed at 10,359.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by MassMutual, offering retirement and 401k plans to businesses for more than 60 years. MassMutual.com/retirestrong.
Can you identify this sound? That would be a quarter going into a parking meter, and the first time anybody heard that sound was 75 years ago today in Oklahoma City. Marketplace was unable to obtain the original quarter. What you heard was a simulation. Reporter Andrea Bernstein at WNYC in New York says that not everybody finds the anniversary a reason to celebrate.
Mike Krumholtz knows how he wants to party. He'd figure out the number of parking meters in the city.
So I would say we get that number and then file the same amount of sticks of dynamite and blow them off simultaneously.
Out on the street in Brooklyn, Anthony Lamondri doesn't much like meters either.
Sick and tired of paying them. Every hour you have to come back and put more quarters.
The idea for parking meters began in Depression-era Oklahoma City. Jeff Breeley of the Oklahoma History Center says by 1930, the number of cars in the state had ballooned to 550,000.
Parking spaces in downtown would fill up, and there was just, it was a problem finding a parking spot.
Breeley says a businessman named Carl McGee noticed spots weren't occupied by shoppers, but by shopkeepers.
They would just leave their cars in the parking spot near their store all day long.
So McGee designed a parking meter. Store owners left the metered spots to their customers. Even though it was the Depression, mostly the new system was popular with patrons.
For a change, they would then have a parking spot.
Well, not everyone loved it. At the beginning, Breeley says, some people did stop by to complain.
Why should I pay a nickel for, you know, what I ought to be able to do free and have done for free every day up until now?
Back on the streets of Brooklyn, speech therapist Debbie Shubelik was pulling into a spot.
I know it's good for businesses because they need a rotation of people coming in and out. They don't want people parked all day. But at the same time, it's like, why do I have to pay 25 cents for 5 minutes to run into a bank?
And then, if you don't make it back in time, there's always the traffic agent printing out a ticket and tucking it under your windshield wiper.
No, I did not see that I had a ticket. Damn.
Happy birthday, parking meter. In New York, I'm Andrea Bernstein for Marketplace.
And finally, for your convenience, here's the entire week's business news in a Marketplace minute. The oil has stopped leaking, loosely speaking. BP's still tweaking. Havoc still wreaking. The drug Avandia came in handy a decade ago. Diabetes, you know. The drug attracts some heart attacks, but weighing the facts, the FDA backs it. Goldman Sachs disputes the facts, but settles its fraud case, and the stock reacts. Earnings season, so far, pleasing, with smiles on the face of Morgan Chase, GE, Intel, Alcoa as well. Seems the nation's corporations don't share in our deprivations. The Yankees' pride, George Steinbrenner, died. He's in our prayers, because he bought the best players. Financial reform survived the storm, but it won't stop a bubble. We're all still in trouble. The economy's in the gutter, a ship without a rudder. Food prices fall, including butter, but the golfing world is all a flutter because Tiger Woods has switched his putter. He's not made for one putter. He needs to be free. I'll see you at marketplace.org. This is the Marketplace Morning Report. In Los Angeles, I'm Bill Radke.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.